As we've been reporting this morning, youth services in New South Wales are bracing for a spike in homelessness as the COVID-19 restrictions ease. In Sydney's west and in some regional centres of New South Wales, there's been a significant increase in calls for help from young people during lockdown. But it's feared worse is still to come.
They're in a position where they can't actually leave home right now because of those restrictions that are out there. And I think once they've had time to be able to sort themselves out, we have a concern that there's going to be quite a significant increase in youth homelessness to a possible crisis point. We really need solutions out there. We need increased temporary accommodation. We need increased capacity to actually support these youngsters.
That's Jason Juretic, who runs Stepping Stone House in Sydney's West, and that's part of a package we paid earlier. It's not only youth homelessness that looms as a crisis as lockdown ends. The New South Wales government has established a task force to manage an expected spike in child protection cases. Alistair Henskins is the New South Wales Minister for Families, Communities and Disability Services. Minister, welcome to breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. How are you?
Well, thank you, Minister. Can we talk about homelessness first, for youth homelessness? Do you share the concerns of the services? Are you expecting a spike in youth homelessness as young people feel they've got more freedom to flee a dangerous or unhappy family situation, perhaps?
Fran, what we have seen is more internationally, more of a spike in child protection agencies reporting risk of serious harm to children.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the international experience has shown. With regard to youth homelessness, when we came out of the lockdown last year, the rates of youth homelessness were not what we would call a spike. They were within the usual fluctuations of youth homelessness from time to time during the course of the year. But look, we're certainly keeping an eye on it. And the government established just about a month ago a $50 million fund to give our agencies that look after these issues and social welfare across the board, these are the not-for-government agencies, the financial capacity to be able to deal with any surges of the kind that you've raised.
Okay, so $50 million to deal with the surges. We've heard earlier, and I'll play you some more in a moment, from some of these agencies who say they're struggling to find the options. During the pandemic, the government boosted support for temporary accommodation for people who were already homeless and some who came into homelessness. There's always a degree of temporary accommodation provided by government in the support it gives, but it was boosted during the pandemic. Will that temporary accommodation come to an end with the end of lockdowns, by and large?
Look, there are two issues there, Fran. The first is how we deal with the people that are currently in temporary accommodation. And what we will do is continue to work with them to try and find a permanent accommodation. What we are doing is we will at a certain point in time, however, have to return to our usual temporary accommodation system. Now, what we will do is we will reset people's engagement, if you like. So we will not count any time that they have spent in the lockdown in temporary accommodation towards their entitlement to services going forward.
Okay. So then the question becomes, what happens when that ends? As you've indicated, it will eventually end. Services are struggling to find permanent solutions for young people who don't have a home. We've hearing things have reached crisis point in the states far north, in Albury, Bathurst, in Wagga. Here's Kylie Fennell. She works with a homeless young people service in Bega on the south coast.
My fear is that I'm going to have to offer tents and camping equipment when it comes to Christmas and the tourism starts again. I have got 14 young people, two of them expecting babies, that are all in local caravan parks in units that haven't been utilised due to COVID. They all are aware that as soon as December comes, tourism is kicked off again and they won't be able to stay on.
So is it good enough that services like hers are thinking about, tents and camping gear to help homeless young people? Is this on your radar?
It is, Fran. What we've seen in New South Wales, and I believe in other parts of Australia as well, is a complete reversal of the demographic trends that have occurred for the last 100 years. Now, the demographic trends have been that people have gone from regional areas to the city.
Mm.
With the pandemic, we've seen is a reversal of that. It's a 1 in 100 year demographic shift.
Yeah.
and people are going out into the regions. Now, that's put a lot of strain on accommodation in regional areas. Can I just be clear? Our government's policy is always to get a roof over people's heads if they are homeless. Sleeping in a tent is not what we consider an adequate response.
Oh, good. But then how do you do it? Because the other change that's happened, as you say, there's the demographic shift we've seen occur quite quickly, really, or intensify quite quickly through the pandemic. But there's also the shift that's been around for a long time, which is, you know, Airbnb rentals. We heard Kylie told us earlier in that interview that in Bega, for instance, there's 151 Airbnb beds available. There's two rental properties available. So where are you going to get these beds from? That's the question, isn't it?
We've already, I agree, Fran. And look, this is a very complex issue, obviously. And as you've rightly said, the demographic change has happened more quickly than you can build houses and put in new accommodation. But what we did in the budget as part of our Together Home program in June is actually allocate, so we allocated another $57 million to our existing program. So it's $122 million that we've committed to our Together Home program, which is a world-leading housing-first approach. So what the program does is get people into permanent accommodation and then give them wraparound support services to deal with the underlying causes of their homelessness, because the causes of homelessness are incredibly complex and many and varied. So they can include domestic violence, they can include alcohol and drug abuse, it can include mental health.
So do we have those wraparound, have there been, you know, a significant ongoing increased funding for those wraparound services?
We've committed $122 million in the last about 18 months to this Together Home program. And one of the aspects of the Together Home program, particularly relevant to what we've just been discussing, is that this last tranche of that $122 million that we announced in June is directed towards increasing accommodation facilities in regional areas like Bega.
Okay. Well, it seems like then we need to get a cracking, because come Christmas, they're very worried about it. Just back to the original point you made, Minister, about, you know, overseas experience showing a spike in child protection, a spike in risk to children as lockdown ends. Last month, your department established a task force to protect vulnerable children through lockdown and beyond. What are you anticipating, and what's behind the spike in child protection cases?
Well, what we know, Fran, is that as you go into a lockdown, the number of risk of serious harm reports with regard to children actually decreases. Mm. Part of that reason is that about 20% of those reports are actually made by school teachers. And as children aren't going to school, that means that those reports decline. So what I did, I actually established the Child Protection Task Force, which is a whole-of-government approach. We've got health, we've got education, and we've got my agency, Child Protection, working together with not-for-government organisations that look after our children. And I've tasked them with the objective of advising me what are the measures that we need to be doing to ensure that no children fall within the cracks when they come out of lockdown.
Is it the pressures from lockdown? I mean, we know that the domestic violence incidents and the demand on services after lockdown increases too. Is it domestic and family violence that's leading to this increased risk of child protection cases?
It's not just that, Fran. For some of these children, and as Minister, you know, I learn a great deal of detail about some of these stories. Some of these children, their most structured, safe environment is actually at school. So the fact that they've been out of school has meant that that structure and that safety of that environment has gone away. Mm-hmm. And so what we need to do is ensure that they get back into that environment quickly. We know that transition will be difficult, more challenging for some children and their families than others. So we're looking at all the support measures that we can put in place to ensure that those children come out of the lockdown and are put into the best environment possible for them.
Well, that's an important challenge to get right, Minister. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Alistair Hengskens is the New South Wales Minister for Families, Communities and Disability Services. And it's just a reminder that there's a more than an economic cost that will linger after this pandemic. It's a personal cost too, and children seems particularly vulnerable.